Whether or not we all realize it, those of us who serve the Lord are participating in the most epic adventure of all time, space, and history. I think it's about time that we start celebrating the miraculous and wonderful ways that God touches our lives in everyday circumstances. I'm Karen Pennington, and this is Daily Adventures in Grace.
Hey friends, Karen Pennington here. And for some reason, I feel like I need to share with you that this morning I was in tears. I actually thought at one point that I wouldn't even be able to talk today without, you know, weeping at the same time. I was very sad and I was tempted not to post. And then I felt that, God's grace, it happens every day. It even happens when we cry. Sometimes it happens through our tears. Sometimes tears are a grace. And if you're looking real closely on YouTube, you might see some smudged makeup. And I decided I'm not gonna fix that. I'm feeling okay now. Sometimes you just need to cry a little bit. Sometimes you need to release the valve. And I'm not saying that because I'm looking for, you know, sympathy or compassion. Please feel free to have compassion on me. It's been a couple of rough challenges coming up. There's some financial challenges. There've been a few deaths and just the weird kind of unique, maybe not so unique, way that I process grief sometimes is that it sort of piles up on me. It's not that I don't try to process it, or it's just sometimes if a lot of things are happening or if a lot of stress is happening, it'll just hit me and all at once in these very random places, like in my kitchen while I'm washing the dishes on a random morning 3 weeks later. But I was feeling really overwhelmed this morning, and that happens from time to time. And the only reason I'm really sharing this is because I want to be transparent. I want to be real. I want to avoid all unnecessary, you know, the pretense. I'm still a mess sometimes, you know. I still just weep uncontrollably because things are beyond my control and I don't know how to fix it. And I still often just cry out to God and say, I can't, God, I can't do this. You have to do this. I can't do this. And even as I'm saying this, I'm submitting that, you know, if you're in that place, it's not a horrible place to be, because if you're honest and if you're crying out to God and if you understand that you can't do it and you need Him, that is actually a pretty blessed place to be. And then when God comes through to you, for you, you can remember, God, look at what you did again, you know, and then God can get all the glory, you know, and God's going to come through for me. You know, there are some things that are very hard right now that I don't know how I'm going to get through them, but I know God's going to get me through them. It was hard to post this morning, but God still deserves the glory. Sometimes it's hard to go to church and worship, and that's probably when you need to worship most. And God certainly does not deserve it any less in those points, but it sure helps out your heart and your soul. And that has nothing to do with what I was going to talk about this morning, but I wanted to share that because I wanted to be honest and say, you know what? It's okay to weep. It's okay to cry. Don't let it lead you to just self-pity. Let it lead you to God. Be honest. Be broken before God. But it doesn't have to end there, but it's sure okay to be honest about where you're at, you know? So that has nothing to do with what I was going to talk about. I was thinking about how yesterday in one of my classes, somebody called me Karen. And they didn't know that was my name. It was, they were referring, I'm a substitute teacher, and sometimes I can be a very cool substitute teacher, and then there are times where students try to take advantage, and I don't seem so cool to them, because I have to start getting very strict. And this was a class, it was actually a kind of fun class, a pretty spirited class. And one of the kids who had been trying really hard all of a sudden stopped trying, and one of the more spirited ones, and I had to kind of correct him, and he said, "Okay, Karen." And he was referring to that, I think most North Americans know this, that phrase where they talk about that stereotypical woman from the 80s who just gets on your nerves and is very insistent and very, this is right and this is my right and you better do this or else, and I'm not going to give in because you know what, I'm right and you got to do what you need to do. And there are other words sometimes that I won't use that are very unholy that refer to her, but someone who's very, very assertive in a way that is often thought of as not good, maybe even a bully. And well, the funny thing is I identify with that. I identify with that part of the 80s. And I'm okay with being assertive, and people don't like me because I'm assertive. So I'm like, yes, my name is Karen, and I am Karen. I am the reason that they call that lady from the 80s who's over-assertive Karen. I grew up in the 80s. I love the 80s. Call me Karen all you want. So, but I didn't realize this at the time. He just said, okay, Karen. And I thought he was calling a couple of students every once in a while, call me by my first name. And I go, you know what? When we're outside of school, you can call me Karen. Because there are kids from church that end up in my class. And it's like, okay, and here I'm Mrs. P or Mrs. Pennington. But you can call me Karen outside. So I said, okay, you can call me Karen when we're outside of school, but don't use my first name in here. And the kids went, oh no, oh snap, your name is actually Karen. And so that was like a big joke the rest of the day. But I'm still Mrs. P. Or they were just trying to give me a hard time and go, okay, Karen, that's actually my name. And I thought about how much a name means and what a name refers to, and I still think I'm the reason that Karen is Karen. I don't think I'm overly mean. I don't think I'm bullying. I am pretty assertive when I think something's right about me, especially when I'm protecting somebody that I care about. I will be assertive and not care, and I will often win. Sometimes I won't, but I'll go down swinging, you know? And that can be a bad part of my personality. It can be a very good part when it comes to that mama bear fighting for your love kind of person, but for the ones you love kind of person. And I just thought it was funny about how much a name says, how much people assign to a name, and how we often change our identity or try to change other identities by changing that name. Even when you marry somebody, it's not that, you know, I didn't stop being a Knickerbocker when I married my husband, but taking on the Pennington identity and taking on the identity of being part of who my husband is and him being part of who I am. Think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, whose real names were Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and how King Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel tried to redefine who people were and how they served by changing their names. You know, the Hebrew names had the word God or Yahweh in them, and the names that were given to them, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Daniel was called Belteshazzar. It had the names of the foreign gods in them, of Bel, of Molech, of Asherah, you know, and they try to change it. But, I mean, our identity is so often a name so much, it tells us what people think about us, basically, whether it's our parents or whatever. I named my daughter Alethea, because truth is important to me. And Lynn, because Lynn means beautiful. And I thought she was beautiful. I still think she's beautiful. And I wanted her to live a life of truth. So it tells a lot about the values of people who name us and what they see in us and maybe even what they expect in us. I'm thinking about this passage where people were talking about who Jesus was. This is a really cool exchange between Jesus Christ and Peter. In Matthew 16, and we're going to start with verse 13. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" Now, Peter starts saying some names, and they said, some say John the Baptist, or I'm sorry, his disciples did. Others say Elijah, others Jeremiah, others one of the prophets. He said to them, "But who do you say I am?" And then Simon Peter answered, two names here. Simon, also called Peter. Peter's the nickname. Simon's the name he was born with. Peter's the name that he somehow acquired. Simon Peter answered him, "You're the Messiah, a son of the living God." Now, Messiah here, Mashiach, that means anointed one. Usually used to refer to a king or a prophet. Or a priest. Those were the ones that had... See, when you were called out for a special purpose, you had oil poured over your head, which signified a lot of things. It signified cleansing. It signified oil moisturizes things. Oil set things apart. Oil keeps you from, it's a preservative. It does so many good things. Oil is just a good thing for you. That's why we use essential oils now. It's this natural healer, embalmer, preserver. And in this case, Jesus was and is prophet and priest and king. What they were really talking about, when they thought Messiah was coming, they were thinking, here's a king who's going to overtake the Roman Empire and reestablish the on-earth kingdom of Israel, nation of Israel. And so basically save Israel from the world. And he came to save the world. So Peter, there was so much truth in what Peter said. It was more truth than what he even realized. And this name, Messiah, not just the one to save Israel from the world, but the one to save the world. Not just the prophet, not just the priest, not just the king for a period of time, but all three forever. So verse 16 again, Simon Peter answered, "You are Messiah, the Son of the living God." He just deified Jesus. Again, I don't know if Peter even knew what he was saying at this point, but he was saying it. Maybe not out of thinking, but definitely out of faith. You're the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for the flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven." In other words, Simon, his given name, means hears the Lord or the Lord hears. The Lord and hears comes in it. So he has somehow heard something the Lord has told him, but the Lord has heard him too. That word Shema means listen up, pay attention. So he has paid attention to God at some point, and God has paid attention to him, and that's why he's blessed. Then he uses his other name. "And I tell you, you are Peter." Peter means rock. "And on this rock, I will build my church. The gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." That's quite a name. I thought Karen carried a lot with it, or even Alethea and Lynn carried a lot with it, but Peter, now Jesus is the real rock. Jesus is the cornerstone, but that word rock, that's foundation. Peter wasn't known for being real solid. He was known for being hard-headed, rock-headed. And somehow God used that hard-headedness of his and turned it into a firm foundation, changed it. You know, his heart wasn't hard. He was softened by his own sin, by his own failure, by his own regret, by his own love for the Lord, but strengthened in his resolve to serve the Lord at all costs. But I thought this was great because it was the first time that Peter called out Jesus for who he was in this book. And it was the first time in the book of Matthew that Jesus called Peter by name. Now, I'm not saying that he never called Peter by name ever in their time together, but I think it's significant that in the book of Matthew, this is the first time that Matthew talks about Jesus using Peter's name. Not just using his name, but saying why it's important. Now, I don't know if my mom meant this when she named me, but Karen means purity. And I'm not fully pure. I mess up. I say dumb things. I say mean things, particularly to the people I care about. I don't try to, but, you know, sometimes it spills out, especially with all the words. But integrity is so important to me. That's why I told you I cried this morning. And just being exactly who I am and not hiding, not being mixed in with something that'll keep me from the fullness of God. That's so important to me. And it's not selfless. I happen to think that's what's best for me. So maybe it's wisdom, maybe it's faith. I don't know, but it's definitely not selfishness because I want everything that God wants for me. I want God's best and I don't want to water it down with something less than God's best. I do water it down. Often. I try not to. As far as a life's goal, I try not to. But the other thing that really got to me is recognizing Jesus and recognizing being this first person in the book of Matthew to recognize Jesus as prophet, priest, king, the one we spoke about and the living God, That's pretty big. He unlocked the ability to hear and receive who he was. Sometimes we try so hard to find ourselves. And sometimes we ignore God. Often. Most often, if you think of the whole scope of humanity, we ignore God because we're trying to find our own self-actualization, our own value, our own who am I. But the reality is, who we are is hidden in Christ. That's Colossians 3. If you died and your life is now hidden with Christ and God, so really, this isn't, don't hate yourselves, but seek God and you find you. I'll tell you, this morning I was feeling a little lost. I was crying. And I fell a little bit into the trying to make myself feel better, who I am, what I've done, all that. But ultimately when I fell in and said, God, I know you got the, I don't even remember what I said. I can't do this, you can do it. And ultimately, in lifting up God, I rediscovered who I was. I rediscovered myself. Ultimately, when we're seeking God and we're listening to God, God will show us who we are. God will show us what our purpose is. We just have to get it that way, you know. We can't reach for the fruit before we plant the seeds, you know. Lord Jesus, thank you because you've given us a name. There's our birth name. And that can have meaning and we can live into that or choose not to. But you have called us beloved. You have called us your children. Through the church in Antioch, we're called Christians. Whether or not we choose to receive the meaning of our earthly names, Lord, may we fall into that name of who you called us. And more than anything, Lord, help us to see you. Help us to call out your name. Help us to recognize you. You are Lord. You are Messiah. You are prophet, priest, and king. You are living God. You are all these things that Peter called you, Lord. And within us, in response, you call out strength that we didn't know was there. You call out meaning and purpose that we didn't know was there. I can't imagine the idea of Peter, lowly fisherman, being the rock of the church and being a warrior against the gates of hell. But you're calling us out to do that, Lord. May we first see you and receive you. And then may we have the faith to receive who you say we are. In your name, amen. Be blessed, my friends. May you enjoy new revelations of who God is in your life. And that may that make you give you great insight about the value of who you are in Christ.